Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This program is entitled Building a Business That Will Run Without You by Debbie Sardone. Tom, we both listened to this program. What did you learn from Debbie's presentation?
Bill, when Debbie lists the reasons to build a business that'll run without you, she mentioned a benefit that surprised me, which was the ability to focus on growing and expanding the business. That makes sense. If the owner's involved in the day-to-day operation of his or her company, they won't have time to focus on the growth and expansion.
Well, I agree, Tom. As a matter of fact, Debbie also makes another really interesting comment. She talks about creating job descriptions for every employee within the company, but she specifically states that the owner should not have a job description. Their job changes daily. The specific job of the owner is to create a vision and the culture for the company. Tom, Debbie also mentioned that we need to know our numbers. What are your thoughts on that one?
Bill, that's something we both totally agree with. Specific KPIs, that is, key performance indicators, need to be set up and measured for each and every technician. However, Debbie also laid out some very specific KPIs for the office itself, which I think our listeners will find very interesting.
Well, absolutely. You have to measure everything. Let's get to today's program, which features Debbie Sardone. Debbie is both a local business owner and a global business consultant. Debbie has launched 5 successful businesses, including the national nonprofit Cleaning for a Reason. Debbie helps cash-strapped people start and grow their business, overcome obstacles, and create legendary service while enjoying their entrepreneurial journey. Her expert advice is specific and is relevant no matter what stage your business is in. And now, here's Debbie Sardone with this month's Prophet University audio series.
Building a business that will run without you. Hi, I'm Debbie Sardone, and I help people fix their business. If you had to leave your business suddenly, without notice for 3 months, what shape would it be in when you returned? And even if that doesn't happen, why build a business that can run without you? Well, there's a few reasons. First of all, so you can sell it. A business that cannot run without the owner has very little value. You might be able to sell the customers, but that will bring a lower price than selling a business. A list sells for a whole lot less than a turnkey operation. So another reason, so you can retire and continue earning an income. Not everybody wants to sell their business. Most businesses will go into decline and eventually shrink well below profitability if the owner is not there driving the sales and ensuring the operations. Another reason is so you can enjoy quality of life while you're still involved in the day-to-day operations. Maybe you don't want to retire. Maybe you don't want to sell it. But you would like to have a little bit of quality of life before you retire. Isn't quality of life and freedom in business one of the major reasons most entrepreneurs got started in the first place? Many people leave the corporate world assuming they're going to be able to control their own schedule and control their own life, and oftentimes they discover in their own disappointment that that business owns them and controls them and runs their life. No different than corporate America. So I think another reason is just quality of life. Just to be able to take a 2-week vacation without checking in, without checking your emails, without answering text, or being on the phone coaching your staff through a problem. Another reason for building a business that will run without you is insurance in case of a long-term illness. Unfortunately, sometimes that does happen. So if you left your business for 3 months, what would it look like if and when you came back? Another reason is so you can focus on expanding your business or growing your business. If it can run without you being involved in the day-to-day operations, that will free you up for expansion, creating new products or services, and going in a different direction or adding new territories, or starting a whole nother business. It gives you the time to diversify. And I guess lastly, it for some people, it demonstrates the ability to franchise your concept. If your business can run without you, it becomes a franchisable business. And for some, that's a goal. It's really hard to imagine selling franchises if you can't even get this thing to work and to work profitably without your day-to-day intervention. So it helps your business to become franchisable if that's a goal that you have. So of course, there's many reasons for creating a business that will run without your day-to-day intervention. Most of the above reasons emerge from the success of creating a business that runs without you. You might not have intended to start another business or to franchise your concept or to add more territories or more products or services, but as you gained more freedom in your business because it does run without you, then options also open up to you, even options you had not considered before. The option to retire, the option to take some time off or to expand. So there are many reasons to create a business that will run without you. You don't have to retire. You don't have to take off for 3 months. But wouldn't it be nice to know that you could? And that's what I call freedom. I grew bored with my business after 25 plus years of being involved in the day-to-day operations. I needed out. I was bored. I was ready for a new challenge. I didn't even realize how bored I was until I made the decision it was time to get out. And so, if for no other reason, I would like for you to think about creating a business that runs without you and putting the steps in place so that you have the freedom and the options. If change happens without your planning it, or if you suddenly decide you want to go in a different direction. So there are four things that are vital to success in building a business that runs without you. And I wrote down four things that I'd like to share. Number one, first and foremost, I would have to say, are people. These are the four P's of success. Surround yourself with the right people and do this your entire life. Obviously, if you have problems surrounding your personal life with toxic people, you're going to have a tendency to do the same thing in your business. You're going to tolerate toxic employees and people who undermine your success and undermine your business and your authority. So get good at surrounding yourself with the right people in your entire life, but especially in business. History repeats itself. If you've had problems surrounding employees in the past, that's not necessarily going to go away or get better. If you've had to move an employee from job to job to another job to another job because you're trying to find the job they're really good at, because you're certainly sure that they'll be good at something, you just need to put them in the right position, then just stop. Chances are you have the wrong person working for you. You can't train integrity. You can't motivate out laziness, slothfulness. If the person cannot, will not do a good job in one job, I have found in years of experience that they're going to do a mediocre job in just about every position you put them in. And I have placed people in positions that maybe it wasn't their forte, but they did a better job than I expected. They did a better job and exceeded my expectations. And I moved them to another position and they did a better job than I had hoped. And they exceeded my expectations. And I moved them up to another position and they just knocked it out of the park on that position as well. People with integrity, people with ability, people who are trying and interested and care will generally do a good job in just about any place you put them. And of course, you always want to focus on their natural skills. But integrity comes first. And putting the right people on the bus and stop wasting your time trying to motivate mediocre people who are working for you, that's one of the biggest things you can do for creating a business that will run without you, without you standing over them and ensuring they're doing their job. And then, of course, know the difference between being an owner and being a worker, and become the owner. Are you spending your day performing repetitive tasks? You need to ask yourself that, because if you are, it's going to take you a long time to create a business that will run without you. Evaluate what you are doing. Are you a worker? Are you answering phones, making sales, doing the work of the technician? Are you the only one who can close a sale? Are you the only one who can satisfy a customer or work up a bid or solve a problem? Then you're a worker, and you have not created well-documented processes that other people can follow for closing that sale or satisfying that customer or creating that bid. So understand, when it comes to your people, if you're doing the job of a worker or if you're doing the job of the owner. And then, you know, create the owner's and the staff's job descriptions. Now, I realize when your business is small or when your business is new, the owner will wear many different hats, and you will have to be the worker. You may have to be the technician, the filing clerk, the person who does the bids and the estimates, the person who types the bids and the estimates, the person who makes the customer service calls. You may have to wear all those hats. But eventually, if you're ever going to create a business that will run without you, you have to have processes in place so that the right people that you've hired can follow those processes. And as long as you understand what is the role of the owner and what is the role of each individual staff member through job descriptions, you won't be able to work yourself out of a job and begin to replace yourself task by task by task. The owner's job description, should have no repetitive tasks. Please remember this, because this is one of those things that it's easy for us to forget as business owners. If you're doing or performing a repetitive task over and over again, that is not what owners do. And so as soon as you're able to hire someone and train them and hand those repetitive tasks off, then you'll be more focused on the job of the owner. As the owner, your job is to set the standards, establish the vision, create processes that other people follow, not for you to follow as a repetitive task. As the owner, it's your job to change course when the old way stops working, because things change in business. And more than likely, your employees are not going to spot those changes, but you will. As the owner, your job is to inspire company leaders to motivate the underlings, to monitor the numbers every single month, and to make sure they're not slipping. It's not your job as the owner to answer the phones and figure the payroll and type those estimates and train all the new staff. And I'm not saying you're there yet. I'm not saying you're there today or you'll be there tomorrow or next month. But I'm saying understand the difference between the owner's job description and the worker's job description. And that will help you move in the right direction. Again, it's inch by inch. You know, I like to say, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. I'm not saying tomorrow you lay down the gauntlet and you say, I no longer answer phones, I no longer file paperwork, and I'm not returning customer calls. It's not what I'm suggesting. You have to eat an elephant one bite at a time. You have to replace yourself one position at a time with competent workers that you have carefully trained and you're monitoring their progress. And when it comes to people in a business that will run without you, we have to develop our staff. You know, having job descriptions is vital for a staff member, because it's really hard to evaluate their performance if no one really knows exactly what they're responsible for. In fact, it isn't fair. But beyond performance reviews and job descriptions, make sure you're developing your staff. You're working with them. You're sending them to training. One of the things I was very weak on early in my business was I wasn't developing my administrative staff. I was developing myself. I was taking training courses on leadership. I was reading books. I was going to seminars and conferences, and I was learning. I was a sponge, and that was good for me as the business owner, but unfortunately, I was not sending my administrative staff to these same types of conferences and giving them books to read that had helped me in sales or had helped me with leadership. And so that was weak for many years in my company. And when it was time for me to retire and have a business that would run without me, I realized I had not developed my staff carefully the way I developed myself. And so I've had to play catch up for many years, sending them to as many conferences and encouraging them to read great books, and then talking about those books. It really more in catch up mode than a long process that should have been in place for many years. So please remember to develop your staff. Do this every year or couple of times a year, whatever it is, don't neglect it just because you didn't think of it. Another thing to do with the people that work for you is be sure you create the culture in your business. Set the tone. Your business will reflect your values. Have them firmly established before you plan on leaving your business or allowing it to run without you, because those values that you want reflected in your company will probably not emerge on their own. Does everyone in the office gripe out loud about difficult customers? Are employees rewarded for backbiting, basically by you listening and taking sides? What kind of culture have you created within your company? And is it the kind of culture that's sustainable if you're not there to tone things down? Many years ago in my company, we got in bad habits of complaining and whining and griping about difficult customers when we hung up the phone. Of course, we were polite and professional to their face on the phone, but then we would hang up and we would vent. Oh my goodness, she's so picky, she's psycho, she's so rude, and we would really vent. And we created bad habits. You know, we're all kind of hardwired to gripe, and it really doesn't come natural for us to be positive and to look on the bright side and for us to try to be understanding of a difficult customer's situation or point of view. That does not come natural. And whatever is done in our presence as the owner, I guarantee you would be done in excess when we're not around. And it was difficult, but I had to turn that culture around in my office of griping and complaining about difficult customers. I did not want to be retired and have no idea how much complaining and whining was going on behind the scenes, because quite frankly, some of that will spill out into the employees and onto the customers. And so we had to, on purpose, my office manager and I strategized, we had to, on purpose, turn that boat around and begin to help our staff, our administrative staff, understand that the customers are our bread and butter. They are why we have a paycheck, and we're not to gripe about them anymore. And it took a long time, because old habits are very hard to break, but you have to create that culture within your business if you hope for it to run the way you want it to run when you are not involved on the day-to-day operations. You've got to change the culture or create the culture with the people that work for you. And you know what? People are looking for leadership. Most people want their leader to lead. They don't want the culture to just evolve from negativity. They really want someone to set a positive tone and enforce that positive tone. But most people aren't going to do that on their own. And so it's going to have to come from leadership. And so I urge you to set that before you decide to leave or exit your business. And don't exit too soon. You have to experience growing pains if you're a new business. You have to go through a period of stretching yourself and stretching your limits. And again, you might still be in that mode where you're wearing all the different hats of a worker, but you will have to stretch yourself. You will have to work out the bugs and the kinks of your business, the different processes that need to be tested and put in place and tweaked and measured to make sure that's where you want it to be. So don't exit too soon. This is a great goal to have, but you may not be ready next month or next year. It might take you 5 years to get to the point where your business can run without you. So make sure you don't exit too soon. Gradually replace yourself task by task with the right people who you can trust, who you can inspire, and who can take on that responsibility and do it well. All right, number two, processes. There has to be a process for everything. If you hope to build a business that will run without you, you have to be committed and focused on turning everything into a process. Create a process for every repetitive task. You know, this does not necessarily come natural for business owners. Business owners have been guilty of doing the same thing over and over again, following a repetitive task, because usually the results are fine. You know, usually you do something without a process, especially as the owner, because you probably know your business better than anyone. And oftentimes the results are just fine or quite successful, and we fail to create a process. But if you ever want a business that will run without you, there has to be a process for everything. Task versus process. So get out of the habit of just performing repetitive tasks, things that only work best when you're doing them, and create a process around everything, a process around sales, a process around customer service, a process around delivering your service or inspecting the quality. Create a process around everything, not just a task. Hey, go out and inspect that job. Hey, there's a customer on the call. Try to sell them and book a job for Monday. Let's not focus on the task. Let's focus on following a process and creating a process for everything that's done in your company on a repetitive basis. And then, as the owner, you have to test that process. Because, you know, sometimes we create a process and we discover there's a couple of things that don't really work smoothly. So you have to test it. You can't just put a process in place and tell your staff to go do it and then not check back in. Either do it yourself and work out all the kinks and bugs, or have your staff follow a process and then monitor that and get feedback and find out what didn't work, what did not make sense, what area of the process were they unable to follow, and then tweak it and change it and then test it again and then document it and then require that everyone do it that way. And then, of course, monitor. You have to monitor the processes you put in place, because people are people. Even when you have the right people working for you, we're all humans and we have a tendency to slip back. And oftentimes people will shortcut your process or will miss a step just because they get careless. And so you have to monitor and you have to review, because oftentimes if you've put the right process in place and you've tested it and proven it, then what happens is when someone shortcuts your process or skips steps, then the result generally is a poor performance. And so you do need to monitor and make sure everyone is following the process. Don't just assume they are. I can't tell you how many processes I've put in place, check back several months later, only to find out they're not following it. And then I'm, you know, bump my head against the wall going, my goodness, you would have had better results if you would have followed my process. And so you do have to review, you have to monitor, and of course, repeat. Whether it's annually or quarterly or monthly will obviously determine on the type of people and how often they're expected to follow the processes. Something that's being followed every single day, you can probably just check in with them for a few months. And once they've developed a habit of following the process, then you can just check in either quarterly or annually, depending on how you track and measure their performance and their results. And of course, you need to create a process for tracking and measuring everything in your company that matters. It's not good enough to just create the task of tracking and measuring. We need a process for this. Literally, a process. And I'm a firm believer in processes that make everything simple. If you make your processes too complicated, then you will handicap your staff when it comes to following it. You'll force them to take shortcuts and to divert from the actual steps of your process. So don't make it so complicated that they can't follow it the way you set it out to be followed day in and day out. And then create a process for measuring everything, tracking and measuring everything. Don't just say track and measure it. Create the process. I'll give you an example. It's not good enough for me to say to my salesperson in the office, I need to know how many customers called and what your conversion rate is. You know what? People get busy. And what we found is they never find the time to go back and look up that information. So we put a process in place to make it easy. We created a little form. I understand we all have computers and people can document things in computers. But what happens is they fail to do so. It's easier to grab a piece of paper and start writing than it does to open a program and go look for a report and blah, 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 blah. You can enter the data into a computer later. But we wanted to make it easy for our sales staff. Here's a piece of paper. And here is just some simple metrics that we want you to track every single day. And so, for example, for our salesperson, what they have to track every single day on this piece of paper is how many inbound calls did they receive, how many of those inbound calls did they convert to a sale, and what was that conversion rate. So did they take 10 calls today and convert 5 of those calls to a sale? Well, they had a 50% conversion rate. We want to keep it simple. We want to keep it easy. And we want them to do it every single day. And then weekly or monthly, they can dump that data into a computerized report if you have such a thing. Obviously, a part of creating processes for the owner is you have to improve your own time management skills. I've always struggled with this because time management doesn't come easy. As entrepreneurs, we tend to be creative and we're always wanting to jump from idea to idea, and we don't really like to stick to the details oftentimes. And so time management would be difficult for me. I would bite off more than I could chew. I would overcommit. And then I have a tendency to want to start with the fun things, the things I like to do, and save for last the things I don't like to do, like meeting deadlines. I miss my deadlines way too often because I don't like deadlines. They seem to put pressure on me that I don't want to have. And so if we want a business that will run without us, we have to improve our own time management, which will help us teach our staff how to improve their time management. One of my favorite books of all time on time management is by Brian Tracy, and it's called Eat That Frog. And the basic principle is teaching us as business owners how to tackle the ugliest tasks first that absolutely have to be done, and then we can spend the rest of the day on the tasks or the jobs that we like to do. You know, if you want to find out if your tasks are more worker-related than owner-related, then I would urge you to track your activities for 2 straight weeks. Write down everything you do every single day and how much time you spent doing that task. So let's say, for example, you start at 7 a.m. and the first thing you do is you make coffee and you stand around and visit with the staff for 20 minutes. Put that in there. 7 a.m., coffee, and visiting with the staff to 7:20. Then if you have a tendency to check your emails from 7:20 to 8 o'clock in the morning, then track that. And then if you make sales calls or return voicemail messages from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, track that. Track everything you do for 2 weeks, and you will be amazed at the tasks you're doing that are worker-related that could be handed off very easily to other people, and the tasks that you're doing to move your company forward or to grow your company or to move your company closer to the goal of running without you. So track everything you do. Don't cheat on your own tracking system for 2 solid weeks. Then take a yellow highlighter and highlight all the tasks that you believe are worker tasks. And then take another highlighter, like a bright pink highlighter, and highlight all the tasks that you performed in the 2-week period that are owner related, like setting the standards, creating processes, reviewing the profit and loss statements, inspiring the staff through motivational meetings. It's an eye opener. Trust me, if you don't do this, it will be difficult to create a business that runs without you, because you have to be able to manage your time as the business owner for that to ever happen. Make measuring performance with your staff a process, not just a quarterly or an annual thing. Create a process so that your employees can track and measure their own performance long before you spend some time measuring their performance and going over that with them. Know your own KPIs, those key performance indicators. Set those KPIs for every single employee. Let them track and measure their own results. Our sales staff, like I said, they have a piece of paper where they're able to track the inbound calls, and they write down the number of those calls that were converted to a sale, and then they calculate their own conversion rates. Now, what do they do with that sheet of paper? There has to be a process. For our office, they turn it in at the end of every single day to the office manager for her to review. And she can eyeball it, and she can see very quickly if someone is slipping from 50% conversions to 30%. That's pretty dramatic. Or 25%. Or if suddenly one employee in the office is converting at 60% on a consistent basis. Well, what are you doing differently than the other employees that are converting at 50%? And so having these numbers and creating a process for getting those numbers and looking at them and paying attention to them can go a long way in helping you create a business that runs without you. Everyone in the office can analyze and discuss, well, what's going on with this one employee if their conversion rate is 10% higher than everyone else's? It could be that this particular employee is intercepting calls immediately and everyone else is being busy with menial tasks, maybe filling out the paperwork or typing up a bid or a work order, and they're letting the calls go to a voicemail, and then they're returning the calls, which will oftentimes diminish your sales conversion ratios. So having that information as a process that's always tracked and measured by someone else in your office, let's say an office manager, is one way of moving closer to a business that will run without you. Now, our office manager, as far as processes for measuring everything, in my office, our office manager has to motivate the staff to hit their numbers every day. We have a scheduling manager, and her job basically is to make sure we have a certain number of jobs completed every day. And she knows the number that she's supposed to hit every day. It can't be a number that only the owner knows. She knows her goal every day is that we complete this many jobs. And if we don't complete that many jobs, it's a problem. We might not be able to pay our bills if that happens too often. And so our scheduling manager knows what her numbers are, her goals, just like my salesperson knows that her conversion rate should be at 50% and no less, and ideally better. I don't want it to be 30 or 40%. And then the office manager, who's tasked with motivating the staff to hit their numbers every single day, can look at those numbers and find out, why aren't we completing this many jobs in a day? One of the things our office manager is tasked with doing is tracking and analyzing our weekly deposits, basically our weekly sales. She knows what that number has to be every single week to meet our budget. And she's tasked with ensuring and inspiring and motivating the staff to squeeze out some extra jobs to hit that number. That's her job. If she doesn't even know what that number is, then it's kind of hard for her to know when it's time to put the pressure on and turn up the flame on the staff. She knows that We have to have a certain number of employees working out in the field in order to achieve that daily completed job projection. And if we don't have enough staff in the field, then she knows she's got to be hiring and stepping up, recruiting more workers. And so everyone should have their set of numbers that they're responsible for, that they have to own, and that they're supposed to monitor. And all of this happens by creating a process around everything, including a process for tracking and measuring every employee's set of numbers, their own benchmarks, their own daily or weekly goals for numbers that they're supposed to ensure they're hitting. And then number three, product. Product. Turning your service into a product. Turning intangibles into a tangible. Automate your marketing to the point where it's a product. Automate your sales process to the point it's a product. Turn your service into a product. So many people don't understand this concept, and I didn't quite get it for many, many years. Define what you sell. Define the selling process, and you'll actually improve your sales results. You'll improve the quality of the service you deliver, and you'll make everything more tangible and easier to measure. Here's an example. Here's an example of somehow turning a service into a product. We can say we have hundreds of satisfied customers, or we can say, because we've tracked and measured and we know this to be true, we have a 98% customer retention rate. That becomes more of a product. It's much more tangible to say we have 98% customer retention versus we have hundreds of satisfied customers. That's very vague. That's really not a product. Here's another example, and this will probably make even more sense to most people who have a service business. I own a cleaning service. One of the businesses we own is a cleaning service, and it's hard to sell a cleaning. Every house is dirty, and every customer thinks that they have a clean house, so it's hard to sell a cleaning. One customer thinks and believes with all their heart that they only need 3 or 4 hours because, after all, their house isn't that dirty. When we know, in all likelihood, if this is our first time to go and clean for them, they probably need 8 or 9 hours of cleaning. They probably need a big spring cleaning to bring everything up to maintenance level. And it's really hard to sell a cleaning because most people don't think they have a dirty house. So when I turn a cleaning into a product, this is what it looks like. I can teach my staff, my sales staff, to sell a spring cleaning because it's defined with certain things we do and certain things we will clean using very specific tools and very specific techniques. So we can sell a spring cleaning versus, here's another product, a budget cleaning. Both titles imply price, level of detail, and time involved without ever explaining it. If I say to you, would you be interested in our budget cleaning, or would you like to schedule a top-to-bottom deluxe cleaning or a spring cleaning? More than likely, with very little explanation, you already have some idea of what this is going to look like. And so defining your service and then creating a very specific detailed list of what's included in that service will turn it into a tangible product. So I can teach my staff to sell a budget cleaning, and they can say, and here's what's included in a budget cleaning. This, 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 and this. And here's what is not included in a budget cleaning. We won't be able to do this, 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 and this. You can define it and price it, and everyone will be on the same page. And then you can create a spring cleaning that is defined and priced and has a very specific list of things that are included, and everyone will be on the same page. That's turning a service, which is just cleaning for you, into a product. selling a budget clean or selling a spring clean or selling a priority cleaning. That's turning a service into a product. If you learn to turn all of your services into a product, it will be much easier to train your staff to do a very competent job of selling your service. Oftentimes, this is the number one reason why the owner of the company is the very best salesperson in the company, and they tend to struggle with growth because no one can close a sale like the owner. The owner has in their head all the things they need to explain to the customer about what we won't be able to do, what we will be able to include, because they haven't turned it into a product. So turn your service into a product, and you'll be able to teach your staff to sell that just as good as you can and to convert at as high a rate as you're able to. Obviously, part of turning your service into a product is you'll have to create scripts for your staff to follow. You need to create very specific scripts so that if they're selling a budget clean or they're selling a spring clean or they're selling a 40-point winter weather check or whatever it is you're calling it, that they'll have a very specific list that they can ensure the customer has heard and the customer understands what they're buying or what they're not buying. And again, that's turning it into a process. Another business we own is a wine boutique, and we sell wine and we sell accessories. Well, at Christmas time, a lot of businesses in our community don't necessarily need a bottle of wine to take home and drink. Instead, they need a service where we select the wine, we select some pretty accessories, we wrap the whole thing up and make it beautiful, and voila, we've turned it into a product. It's a wine gift basket. It's a product. It's a gift. It's something, it's a service that has been turned into a product because the sole purpose isn't really to drink the wine. The sole purpose is to impress a customer. This is what our business customers are trying to do. They're not trying to buy someone something to drink. They're trying to buy them a gift. Reward a VIP customer, impress a colleague or a client. And so you turn a service into a product. I hope that makes sense. But until you turn your services and each aspect of your service into a product, it's very difficult for that business to run successfully without you and to not see your sales diminish. And then lastly, this is one of the most important in my book, profits. If you have a business that isn't profitable year after year after year, then you have a hobby, you don't have a business. If you want a business that will run successfully without you, you have to stay focused on profits as the business owner. And the only way to stay focused on the profits when you are running the business as an absentee owner is to have those numbers and those matrix and the processes in place for all of your staff members to own their own numbers so that you can maintain profits in your business. And you can catch it very quickly if profits begin to slip. And so as the business owner, you need to understand the most important formulas in your business or the business matrix or the KPIs. You need to understand your cost of goods sold, your gross profit margin. You need to know what your overhead should be. Should it be 25% of overall sales? Should it be 10% your overhead? Should it be 30%? I guarantee you, every industry has its own set of numbers that are fairly universal. Every industry. The house cleaning industry has its set of numbers. I'm sure the industry you're in has them as well. You need to know what those numbers are. What are your costs of goods sold? What should they be? And are they on track? And monitor that, because you should not see wild mood swings in your numbers. And if you see stable numbers across the board that don't have dramatic ups and downs, then it will be easier for you to have a business that will run without you, because you can keep an eye on those numbers. And if, let's say, cost of goods sold should traditionally be 55% of sales, and as long as that hovers somewhere between 54% and 56%, then you know there's no need to worry. But if it's wildly swinging up and down, there's something wrong. You need to get the numbers stable. You need to understand what they represent, what they should be. And then you need to monitor it once you become an absentee owner. I run my businesses with the numbers. I look at the numbers every single month and I review them with the people running my companies. And as long as the numbers are stable, as long as the numbers aren't experiencing wild mood swings, then profit is safe. Profit is safe. We created some monthly business analysis sheets in one of my businesses where I can review with my office manager every single month the numbers, the percentages, the cost of goods sold, the conversion rates of customers, of prospects to customers, and even the attrition. We look at the attrition rate every single month. My personal business, the cleaning business, has for years had a 4% customer attrition rate. And so we know that's normal for our business. There's no reason to panic if we lost 14 customers this month because it's still 4%. Now, if I saw that begin to spike, even though I'm an absentee owner, but I'm reviewing those numbers with my office manager, if I saw that number spike, then it would be my job to find out or help her find out what's happened, what's changed, why is our customer attrition rate spiking up to 5 or 6%. Now, that hasn't happened, and I've been an absentee owner for over 5 years, but I check it every single month so that I'm not caught unawares. The last thing you want to do is not review the numbers and the profits and your KPIs, and a year or two or 5 years go by, and all of a sudden you don't understand why your business isn't making money anymore. And so making sure that you have a handle on your numbers, that you understand what they should be, where they should be, is the best way to ensure profits. Because if it begins to slip, you'll know that it's slipping and you can find out right away what happened. Maybe you have a new salesperson that's really bad at sales and sales are slipping. Maybe somebody's not hiring enough technicians to meet the demands of all the marketing you're spending a fortune to have in place. And so you can quickly analyze and evaluate if there's a problem remotely. You don't have to be there every day listening, helping answer the phones, getting involved in customer service. You just have to have those numbers that you evaluate every single month and discuss with whoever you've put in charge. So people, processes, product, and profits. Those are the four things that I have found to be the most important steps to building a business that will run without you. Take it slow, set goals, be sure you have reached those goals before you start stepping back. If your company is nowhere near where you need it to be or where you want it to be, then you're not ready for it to run without you. But you're always ready to be moving in that direction. You're always ready to be building a business that can run without you. That doesn't mean you should let it run without you, but you should always be building a business that can and will run without you. I hope this helps and helps you get more freedom and quality of life in your business. So I'm Debbie Sardone, and I do business consulting. I help people fix their business and then create a business that runs without them. You can find me at DebbieSardone.com, and I hope all the best for you in your business.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.